We all know that cars mean traffic, errands, and budgets.
But they should also represent freedom and fun. Join us as we work to find everyone a car they'll love. I'm Paul.
I'm Todd. And this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
Jay Doherty 787 is asking us, in remembrance of Lee Iacocca, if the Mustang was never made, what would have jump-started the sports car industry? To answer that question, we've got Chance on the podcast with us. Welcome, man.
Oh, no,
hey,
pressure.
Hey.
No pressure on that question at all.
Jump right in there. Well, I'd have to say, honestly, the Corvette was already around.
Mm-hmm. So, it was.
True.
It was.
Yes.
So the Mustang kind of started the pony cars and the muscle cars. But the Corvette already existed, so that we already had an American sports car, in my opinion.
He's poking the bear that we've got Chance on the podcast because, you know, Carroll Shelby's name is going to be brought up.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then we're going to talk about, you know, really, who made the Mustang.
Yeah.
And we're going to be here for the next 3 hours. So welcome to Friday, everyone,
yes,
after the
sure.
4th of July Independence
sure.
holiday in the U.S. And, man, TV is starting. It's here.
Yep,
it's upon
tomorrow
us.
Morning. If you're listening to this on Friday, tomorrow morning, Saturday, that is when the Season 5 premiere happens. Again, it is... 7:30 in the morning Eastern. Go ahead and calculate your time zone from there, and all of them equal the same thing, which is early. So we highly recommend your DVR. Remember, you can watch it through Hulu. You can watch it through PlayStation. There's a lot of places you can watch it if you don't have traditional cable, and if you don't have any of those options to get the Motor Trend cable channel, not the app, the cable channel,
mm-hmm.
then it will be on Amazon Prime in a few weeks as well.
So just how early is that in, like, Hawaii?
That's almost the day
before. That's just a late night. You've just stayed up all night.
That actually might be the best time to watch it. You just turned it on when
the pizza's cold and just turn it over, roll over.
Love it.
You know, wipe the crust from your eyes.
We're very excited about Season 5. I'm on the back end of post-production, which is where I need to be, considering they're starting to air. That's a good thing.
Yes, and the trailer has now dropped on YouTube.
You may have seen the trailer. I hope you've seen the trailer. We're very excited about the breadth of this season is pretty vast as far as the range of places we shot and weather and cars. I mean, I've been thinking about it when I was cutting that trailer, but the fact that everything from full-on, like, major snowstorm, don't get out of the car, to, wow, it's hot out here, and everything in between in one season, which is really awesome. So I hope you guys saw that trailer and are excited about the season. We're excited to share. I know we talk about this stuff forever because it's on our mind, and then we do post, and it's just this. Mm-hmm. It's not intended to be an extended tease. We're just giving you guys slice of life because we just finished shooting something, but it's 3 months away for you guys to see it. So we're excited it's here now, finally.
Well, it's because the podcast is so much more timely right
now.
Yeah. And many of you are listening to the podcast as they get released. And so, yes, you have probably read Lee Iacocca just died, and we mourn him. We actually got an official press release from FCA just kind of telling them about their remembrance of him, which was pretty neat to see. And, guys, we've got a really fun podcast because Chance is on and he is here in the studio. You hopefully heard our podcast with Chad, Police Officer Chad, and we're starting to be able to do more stuff in the studio. And so we have never had three mics running, so here we are.
Yeah.
This is great.
Chance is not just on the podcast. He's on the podcast in the studio at the same time. That is pretty cool.
Instead of in a hotel room with all three of us surrounded by...
One tiny little mic recorder. Yeah, exactly.
Air conditioner blasting in the background.
That's never the best. So this is hopefully sounds a little better for all of us, which is good.
Well, I figured at some point we need to revisit our own garages. And I've thought of stuff that, you know, various categories, of course, you know, self-imposed. But I've thought about three cars that are, you know, a $50,000 total with three cars.
Or, that's good.
You know, one you've got to work on and be able to rent yourself, one you've got to track, and one that's a guilty pleasure, or something like that.
Okay.
I figure we'll get there in future podcasts.
Yeah. Sure.
But there was a cool question from Nick Lane back in March who asked, what are some top automotive things to do? And I figured, you know, putting three heads together could be pretty interesting. So we're going to cover our own personal list, and you can parse it however you want. You can say,
I like it.
Super high-end, things I've already done, things I've never done in my life, you know, future stuff. And then we've got a debate here from Speed Vegas Chris. Chris Everett, he is writing on behalf of his mother in Syracuse, New York.
Yep.
And so we're there for the Speed Vegas shoot, and that episode is in Season 5. So that
is episode three. Okay. Yeah, so 3 weeks away.
Fantastic. So Chris was one of the driving coaches while we were there and got to know him really well. So he's hardcore. He's a Lotus owner. And
he is now,
we're going to be debating SUVs for a non-Lotus person, his mother.
For his mom in upstate New York, so she needs an SUV. So we're a long way away from Vegas and a Lotus here, but it'll be
Lotus
fun.
Lotus opposites.
Exactly.
Yes, you're absolutely right, yeah.
Before we jump in, though, we do want to thank our TV sponsors once again, and you've heard them before, but honestly, we feel like family to these companies, and they've treated us well. And they're treating you well with a 10% code, using the code every day for both Covercraft and Griot's Garage.
Yep.
They're helping us once again with the TV season. So brought to you by both these companies.
Absolutely. This is the reason that we have TV content, is because of these two guys. Covercraft is the presenting sponsor. Griot's is an additional sponsor. We love those guys. They've been very good to us, as you've said. And honestly, I am all about the sunscreen right now. The sunshade sunscreen for the car is the greatest thing ever right now, because we're in full-on summertime, and it's fantastic.
Kind of having a black car, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Of course, absolutely, yeah.
Exactly. Jump into the question here. Nick, thank you for this. This is really intriguing. And his question comes, like I said, back in March, and wondering, top automotive things to do. And again, this could be sliced and diced any which way. It could be things you've experienced in your life that you think, I need to share this with everybody, which is what, you know, we try to do on the show, you know, if we've got a good experience. And that usually is one episode per season of, hey, this is a cool experience. Speed Vegas being a great example of that.
Sure, yeah.
You can go drive trophy trucks. You can go drive these hot exotics.
Mm-hmm.
But he's asking, what are some cool, fun things to do? And it could be the dream cruise. It could be attending
a
race.
Sure,
it could be any one of these things. And I kind of have a mix, actually, of things I've done that I have thought, I learned so much from this event.
Cool.
Other car enthusiasts need to go do this.
Okay.
To a few things that are on the list that,
okay,
that we as a team, we as a brand need to go do.
I like it. I like
Japan's on the list, of course. But
oh, good. Okay. Awesome.
I want to open the floor. I thought, Chance, you could start us off here and give us a list. How did you approach this?
I started with three things that I just thought of that are very different, but also very automotive based. And just, but while we've been sitting here, I came up with a fourth. And the fourth one I'll start with, and that's just have an old car experience. Mm. Not necessarily own one, but if you have a friend that's got some old car, go and see if they'll take you out for a drive, whether you drive it or ride in it. Just get that experience of being in something old and seeing just how far cars have come.
So like 50s, 60s, that
And then the entire breakdown experience. So they're paying for it through their insurance, and you get to watch them dial the number for AAA.
AAA.
And you can help see how you can help them put their car on the flatbed. Right. You don't have to worry about fixing that.
Is where you're going to dinner that night. That's the only thing on your mind. But man, what a great old car experience.
That'd be the full experience, that's for sure.
I love it. All right, what else?
Another one I had was drive a waterfront road in a convertible car.
Yeah.
And I say waterfront meaning beach, lake, river, whichever.
Across the top of a dam.
Whether you're driving fast or you're just cruising along enjoying the view, and just have that open top, open air experience
along
the water.
That's excellent. I like that a lot.
Then the other two I had was take your own car and do any high performance driving event, whether it's on track or an autocross or something like that. And just do it once. Say you've done it. If it scares you, cool. If you get the bug and go every other weekend after that, then awesome.
Fair.
And then
you're welcome, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is kind of the oddball of the four, and that is go to Speed Week at the Bonneville Salt Flats.
Okay.
It's not the most, not the best spectator sport, but you get to go be around these 1,000, 2,000 horsepower cars. Watch some of them go 400 miles an hour.
Low flying airplanes, apparently.
Yep. You're sitting there in the pits, and I've been on a race team at Salt Flats. We had an electric car that still holds the record out there, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
But you're sitting there in the pits working on your car, and all day long, cars are going by at 200 miles an hour.
Mm.
But it's just a thing. You're not paying attention to the 200 mile an hour cars because that's, quote unquote, slow.
Those are the slow people.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're sitting there, and then all of a sudden you hear something big coming flying down. And now, granted, you're at least a half mile from pits to the track for safety reasons, because 400 miles an hour, something goes wrong, who knows where parts will end up.
Yeah.
But,
wow.
But when you hear something that fast coming, everything just stops in the pits. And everyone's like looking and looking up, craning, what is this? And it's just...
That's cool.
You hear on the radio, they call out the speeds every quarter mile, and it's an experience for sure.
Wow, that's cool.
That's
great.
Yeah. How many times have you been out there now?
Let's see. With the race team, we went out 4 times.
Okay.
Wrecked once.
Ooh, fun.
That was the first year. The car went upside down and just kind of skidded to a stop at 180 miles an hour.
Okay.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, it's terrible. The following year was more of a rebuild year. Third year, we set a record. And then the fourth year, we reset our own record. And that's 205 miles an hour. in an electric car weighing less than 1,100 pounds.
It's always specific spec, isn't there?
So, yeah, there's so many records fall every year.
Hollywood has this like crazy.
Yeah.
Best opening ever on a Tuesday on a non-holiday week.
What?
Yeah.
What? Sports has this
How
very same thing.
Are you?
Got
sports
the same stats.
Same way. For sure. Yeah, yeah.
The baseball stats that announcers come up with, like, matters? Is that resume
yes.
worthy?
Best triple-double for somebody under 25 who was not sponsored by Nike. I mean, it's just, you know. Yeah.
Right. Holy cow. All right. That was pretty good, actually. Funny enough, I had a coast drive as well, but I named two places.
Okay.
Big Spur and Big Sur. Big Spur.
I like Big Spur.
Big Sur and Bixby Bridge, which chronicled in one of our films, actually. Mm-hmm. It was part of Mid-Engines in the Mountains, I think. Was it not?
No, you're thinking about the big Z06 PCH piece we did.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that was early on before we actually started getting into the films.
Didn't you do the early FRS and Lotus?
Yes, that was in there too. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we just didn't have a name for that film.
That's a piece on YouTube. That's the FRS, Lotus, and Genesis piece. That's on YouTube. And then we have the PCH piece with the Z06 that was part of television. Both of them been on the Bixby Bridge.
Well, it's like when you travel a lot and you step off an airplane, you wonder what airport you're in. I'm starting to mix my film metaphors.
I totally get it. Yeah, completely.
All right. Well, there's that, and then, of course, the Amalfi Coast. I'd like to do that. But it's got to be a convertible, and I am not a convertible person.
I see it. Yeah.
But there's something special about doing that. So if you get a chance, I highly recommend. Monaco F1 is on my list, or actually any F1 race,
I'd say that.
And, you know, Chance and I were talking the other day about Formula E. That is getting pretty interesting with all city circuits, interestingly, whereas Formula One is a lot of proper, FIA racetracks. Now, Formula E is getting interesting. It's stacked with driver talent, and they're all city circuits. They kind of have they flop the F1 schedule. There's a little bit of overlap, but they kind of flop the F1. Mm-hmm. And so that means there's racing actually all year long. The problem is it's like a tier two cable channel, you know, in the cable lineup. So you either have to watch them later on YouTube. But you said they actually stream them. Do they not?
I think Formula E streams them somewhere. I'm not sure where. Cool. But I know they upload all the broadcast, the full race broadcast on their YouTube channel.
That's very cool.
Really getting interesting. Okay, so
I'd also add just to your racing point.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever get to go to a racetrack to a big race and you have the ability to free walk part of the track and kind of explore a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Watch lap one from turn one. Not quite at the turn, but just at the end of the straight, so you can just see and feel the power of 20-plus cars coming at you at 140-plus miles an hour. And all the noise and the sounds and just the everything about that is just
the
amazing.
The carnage that ensues as they all try to make turn one.
Yeah, exactly. It's just amazing.
I've done that at Laguna Seca where it's vintage and historic cars that are worth a lot.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's some real Cobra that goes off and the announcers really have a field day with that one. Like, whoa, that's a $500,000 mistake.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He won't even feel it, though. He'll get that rebuilt.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, I would love to do that. Monaco was quite special. I'm really itching to go back.
Monaco's very cool.
It doesn't matter the race. Who cares? Because whoever gets pole and then, you know, in the racing order, unless you biff it. But otherwise, the racing order is how they'll finish. But
it's just
being there. It's just seeing things that are not in my world. It's really, really interesting. All right, so of course there's a road that I think us as a team we need to go visit in Switzerland, St. Goddard Pass between Andermatt and Biasca.
Okay.
This is
like a good one. I've seen
more spaghetti.
Love it.
Well, I bring this up because Chance actually has this secret Google Maps thing. I thought you could expound.
It's not that secret anymore. Now. You just let that
out of the bag now.
Yeah. It's kind of intriguing, actually, because I think it's really cool. You've dropped pins on all the major either racetrack venues or driving roads around the world that you want to either visit or just notable racetracks, right?
Yeah. So I had this idea. I was looking through my car magazines, you know, Motor Trend, Top Gear, whoever. And a while back ago, you'd see the pictures and just these amazing places that they would go. Mm-hmm. The sights, the views, the road. And they would very rarely tell you where they were. They'd say, oh, we're in, you know, the Alps. But they wouldn't really call out the road because it was kind of the secret thing.
Sort of like we do. We're not calling out the exact
roads. No, exactly.
Roads.
But it's kind of that secret. You don't want it to get out and get out of hands and too many traffic or, you know, police start monitoring it or whatever. And
watching the video later
after,
and your speedometer putting two and two together.
But I started noticing, though, a couple years ago that some of them started naming the roads they were driving. And I think
it has become a more recent thing. You're right.
Yeah, I think it's largely because, you know, social media, people are more savvy and they can figure it out. It's not hard. So they're just like, well, let's just embrace it. So I started going through all the ones I had and finding where all these roads were, and I'd find them on the map and I'd drop a drop pin on them and save it. So that hopefully someday we'll get to go shoot on them, or we'll get to drive them, or whatever.
Love it.
And it's a pretty big list, and
it's grown. Well, what's funny is we'll be talking about something, and you know we'll recognize the road, and Chance will whip out his phone and pull up the saved map and be like, "Oh, yep, I got the pin there too."
Yep.
Pretty
and
funny.
Then, like, look at this, awesome, and it's like 50-mile stretch of amazingness.
I love it.
So our thanks to Asphalt Pavers Everywhere
for
driving
sure.
those machines up the side of mountains.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Paving
Seriously.
These roads.
Unbelievable.
Our favorite thing. Okay, two more for me on this list here. I have learned so much attending high-end car auctions, namely R.M. Sotheby's and Gooding & Company. I actually attended a Christie's auction years ago when I was still living in L.A. The office was located in Beverly Hills, and they were previewing a 1935 Bugatti. No, excuse me. It was a Type 35 from early 30s, late 20s.
Okay.
And, of course, a bunch of guys showed up, and they had the car there, and everybody was egging on the auctioneer, like, hey, can we, like, take it out back and fire it up in the parking lot? Come on, let's fire it up. It's a straight eight. When else do we get to hear it? And their arm was twisted, and they backed the car out of the showroom into the back parking lot amongst clothiers and tailors and, you know, restaurants and all this stuff. And it was the back parking lot behind all the nice storefronts.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, back there looking around. Auctioneer tried to figure it out, and then everybody's given their input, of course. Everybody knows something. Like, oh, no, pull that. No, you got to have that lever out. That switch up, and let's fire it up. And it clattered to life, and everybody was just like, we had this moment of,
wow.
Ah, yeah. And, you know,
really cool.
Money didn't matter at that point. Huh. And it was just like, straight eight. And, you know, rev it a couple times, and just mechanical gloriousness. It was awesome.
Wow, that's awesome.
So just going to these high-end car auctions, you never know what you're going to see. You'll find cars you'll never have heard of before, and you'll see the world's nicest example of the thing you've never heard of at the auction.
If not the only example
of
that.
You're right.
One of three or one of one, something like that. So if you have the opportunity, just go attend. Sometimes it's $40 to get in. Sometimes it's free, but just go learn. And then finally, you need to go to an NHRA drag race.
Okay.
The 6,000 plus horsepower dragsters whose tires are square when they go past you, they're going so fast, the rear tires turn square. It's the craziest thing. There's so much power being thrown down. You've got to go to a real drag race and just feel the world shake.
And take headphones.
Oh, my
God. Ear protection extra.
Earplugs, noise canceling headphones.
All of the above, yes.
More headphones on top of that.
Just wear layers of headphones.
Wrap your head and.
For sure, yes.
A quilt or something.
Just leave your eyes exposed. Nothing else, yeah.
Well, yeah, the nitromethane will make you tear up and you think, wow.
This is an experience.
So it's like tear gas and racing combined. Yay.
Tear gas. That's a shirt. Drag racing. Tear gas and racing. Goodbye. Anyway. All right. I like it. That's very good. Good list. I've got some overlaps from both of your lists, but I'm going to run through mine real quick. I actually started at Bare Bones and went to You're Going to Need Some Money.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Good.
Two bare bones things that I think everybody, if you have even a vague interest in cars, you need to make sure you've checked these two boxes. Learn to drive stick.
Learn
to drive manual. I'm not saying learn to drive. Look, in a perfect world, you learn to drive well. You get a car that's good for heel toe. You get that amazing, almost religious experience of hitting a corner with the perfect heel toe downshift to get you power on the back end of the corner. That is truly nearly religious, okay? That is amazing. But even if you don't get that far, just being able to see a manual transmission and know, I understand how to drive that. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't do it well.
Yeah.
So learn how to drive stick. And I know you're surprised that I'm the one that mentions this, but seriously, hand wash your own car. I'm not saying every time, but have a car that you like enough that you take the time to hand wash it. You learn about, and again, I'm not even the design guy. I'm not the wash guy or the design guy.
Or if you own a car whose owner's manual specifically states,
don't
take this through.
There is that as well.
An automatic car wash.
But you learn about the surfaces. You will have a better understanding for what condition is my car's paint and just outside. And you may think my car looks great, and then you find three scratches you didn't know that were there. And I'm not saying, please,
yeah,
I'm not saying
this. That's a bad experience, but, you know.
No, I'm not saying this for something to stress over. But I'm just saying you will learn stuff about the condition of your car, and you will learn about the surfaces. It sounds weird, but you really do. And I discover this every time I wash the Lotus. I'm like, oh, that's right. Okay, that does that right there. And oh, that's the way that seam connects. And things that you don't really experience until you actually have your hands on the car and you're worried about where'd the water go and all that kind of stuff. So that's very cool. You should definitely do that. Take a driving-based vacation. Now, I'm not saying just drive cross-country, unless you really are into that. But I'm saying take a vacation where, I mean, my wife and I did this on our 10th anniversary. We drove all the way from to San Francisco from L.A. up Pacific Coast Highway and up the one all the way to Big Sur and through all of that. We had my 300ZX, and we only did like 150 miles a day. I mean, you can do that drive in a day. We stopped like three times.
World's biggest ball of twine.
You know, so
craters of the moon.
But find a route that is not just I have to get 2,000 miles across the country. Mm-hmm. Find the little offshoot road, or if you can do a coastline like you guys are talking about, even better. But have a car you kind of like and take a driving-based vacation of some kind where driving the fun roads is a key part of it, even if that's not all you do. And I think if you take your significant other, especially if they're not all that excited about cars, you're going to need to do something other than just drive. But you can actually connect the dots of 150 miles or 200 miles maybe in a day. Mm-hmm. Connect the dots, have a fun driving experience. Do that. Do an autocross in your own car. I don't care what your car is.
Good.
Just do an autocross.
Good. I like it.
Don't have to do it well. Just you're out there in that. You brought the minivan because that's what you have. Fine. Just
big learning experience.
Seriously, do an autocross. And then the step beyond that is have an on-track experience. Now, that's a big swath. That can be everything from, like we've talked about our friend at Speed Vegas, Chris. You can go to one of those kind of drive an exotic on track, and you pay per lap, and you get on track, and you're in an exotic with an instructor. That, on one end of the spectrum, to a... And I would love it if everybody could do this, a full day instruction day on a track with dedicated cars, or even just get your car in a high-performance driving day with an instructor sitting with you. Just have an on-track experience. You can at least walk away with that. I think that's key. And then attend a high-end, where-does-this-money-come-from car gathering. And I don't mean your local Cars and Coffee. I mean Goodwood Festival of Speed, Monterey Car Week, one of these things where – everywhere you turn is another crazy car. Everything from the one-offs from 60, 70 years ago to the car that you didn't know actually existed in public yet. That whole swath where everybody's got cameras and everybody's all about cars. And you will find how much of a car person you really are when you go to one of those events. You and I have joked before, Paul, about the fact that we go to those events. We're like, I'm good. And 5 minutes later, we're like, I'm going to look at a car because exactly. We're that obsessed.
And then some cool new Mazda drives by and like, hey, an MX-5.
But if you can just – and it doesn't matter what level you can go, what tier, if you will, of finances you can have when you go to one of these events. Just go to one. Just be like, this is the swath of car madness. Here it is in one place. Highly recommend that as well.
Well, we all know that as soon as you wash your own car the week after, you will buy digital paint depth gauge. So you'll be off the deep end into...
Have you done that?
I haven't done that.
I don't want to, you know, go totally crazy. And
I get finished washing the Lotus and I go, huh, I actually did that okay.
The alarm didn't go off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the alarm didn't go off because I killed the alarm.
The electrics didn't melt the car to the ground.
I'm ecstatic about the fact that the Griot's products actually make it look like I kind of know what I'm doing. It's like, huh, the paint looks halfway decent. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Speaking of this, actually, we were at Eaglewood Country Club.
Yeah,
just
yesterday.
Just yesterday. It was a thing that happens every year around July 4th. Eaglewood Country Club. Two stories from this real quick.
Oh, good.
This is a massive Cars and Coffee, essentially.
Basically.
They actually bring in food trucks and porta potties, so that's covered much more than a typical
car
show.
Coffee.
Bounce houses, everything.
Exactly. It was crazy. My son was like, can I go on the bounce house? I was like, we did not drive here to go on a bounce house. We are not doing that. He was crushed. But then he saw cars and he was okay. So it all worked out. But there's two things about this. First off, how do you show up everybody? Because every car you can imagine was there. There were Diablos.
Yes.
There were Countaches. There was a line of Lamborghinis, all kinds of Porsches. Actually, go to my other story first. I wound up in Lotus Land. I was on a peak of the golf course at one point. And when I first parked my car, I had one wheel in the air, so I had to fix that because I was actually on a peak.
It's like high-centered.
Seriously, I wasn't high-centered, thankfully, but I had which is hard. Anyway, so but I parked my Elise, and three cars over from me was a guy with another yellow Elise, and I had an experience I truly have never had in my life. He walked over and he goes, huh, your paint's in much better condition than mine. And I was like, my paint? Because I'm the guy that doesn't have any idea what he's doing here. So if my yellow is actually holding up well, I'm pretty proud of that.
It looks great. It really does.
It's not me. It's all products. Anyway, so there's that. And then the only way to show up a car show.
Yes.
And this is, we've been twice, and it's happened exactly the same both years. Yes. Every car you can imagine, lots of money on the lawn. How do you show up, those guys? You don't bring your cool car. You show up in your Bell Jet Ranger helicopter, and you park on the lawn, and you wind it down and unload your family. I'm cooler than you are. I mean, come on.
Well, he buzzed the crowd and then promptly landed in the tee box.
He has every year.
Yeah.
Were you guys still there when he left?
Yeah.
He took off and left and flew, did a really low flyby on his way out, too.
Yeah, that was just a, but remember, it's me. I'm still here.
I have the helicopter. None of you do.
Bye.
Yeah, it was just like at Pebble Beach last year when we saw that helicopter land on the back of a yacht.
There was that. Yeah, that's true.
Well, but that's Monaco, too. I mean, these are these crazy money places, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's the size of your helicopter, and you know everything just gets bigger when you get to Monaco, apparently.
It's ridiculous.
More expensive.
Monterey in this case, but
Yeah, Monterey's, the trolling down here, even though it's one of the high-end car shows. Well, guys, thank you so much for your questions. Nick, that was a lot of fun. We might have to revisit these as they come to mind, but obviously you can tell there's stuff we want to do. There's stuff in the future.
For sure.
Of course, going to the Ring and Spa with Todd and I, and Chance going this year.
Yep,
and
it's an annual thing.
We've got
a really good group
too.
Going. We've got a really good group growing this year. We have closed registration now for this year. I guess if somebody showed up and begged. But in general, registration is closed because we can't guarantee a specific car at this point. So that's why registration is closed. But we've got 8 drivers going, which is awesome. The 3 of us are going. It's going to be a really, really cool trip this year. And I'm very excited. We have a Utah meetup between now and then.
We do. That is coming.
Which is crazy. First weekend of August. That's August 2nd through 4th. That is totally a la carte. Come beyond track, mountain bike, hike, do the road tour, whatever is interesting to you. We're even going to have a catered dinner at our local racetrack when the endurance race runs. After we get off track, there's a 6-hour endurance race. We're going to be able to sit and watch the race, have a catered meal. So sign up for that. It's very cool. A lot of good people come in there,
too. That race is my favorite event of the year as a track, too. I like when World Challenge comes, but that night race is just cool.
I love it.
The red glowing rotors and the flames spitting out of exhaust pipes
kind
of stuff.
That's really
cool.
Oh, are we not talking about helicopters anymore?
No, we're not.
Okay.
No, it's not chopper debate.
Glowing red rotors and the flames. No,
it's not chopper debate. We decided to just not do that one.
Nice. All right. We're moving on to Chris's debate here in just a bit. Summer is finally here, and with that comes sunshine and blistering hot car interiors. You know, the leather seats that you thought were a great idea until you scald your legs.
Luckily, all you need is a custom sunscreen from our friends at Covercraft. They're awesome. They're amazing. These foldable sunscreens fit perfectly in the windshield of your car and keep your car cooler when you're off enjoying the sunshine.
These custom sunscreens come in a variety of colors, and they're an affordable and simple way to keep your car cooler in the summer and protected from damaging UV rays all year long.
We swear by our custom sunscreens. I love it. It's one of our very favorite car accessories. Remember, you can get 10% off your car sunscreen by using the code EVERYDAY right now at covercraft.com, or you can follow the link from our sponsors page. We've all got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. I've got an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance to that list. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything.
All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, yes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance.
Having extra money in your pocket might be the most rewarding thing you do today.
We're often asked how we find the cars that we recommend to all of you listening. Whether it's local or nationwide, our searches start with Auto Tempest. Instead of searching each car shopping site separately, you can enter all your parameters for the car you're looking for into Auto Tempest one time, and then you can search for them all at once.
See results from Cars.com, Cars Direct, eBay, and more. Or you can jump to AutoTrader or Car Gurus without entering anything new. Same parameters, new site. You can even search all of Craigslist. Think about how hard it is to search Craigslist nationwide, one at a time. AutoTempest.com has got you covered there all at once.
AutoTempest can help you find your next new or used car, whether there's a dozen in your neighborhood or two in the country. Plus, the people at AutoTempest listen to this podcast, and they're always refining the site for more features. They've got research tools, buyer and seller guides, and they're listening to what their users need.
So if you're doing your own drive homework, you're chasing your dream car, or just looking to feed the disease, as we are all the time, AutoTempest.com is your place to start. episode 3 of season 5 is coming up quickly. I know I'm 3 weeks ahead, but I'm actually multiple weeks ahead because of post-production.
Yeah, no kidding.
Episode 1 is tomorrow. Happy Friday. But episode 3 is an episode you and I did at Speed Vegas, where we got to drive on track, and we wound up kind of as a surprise, like, hi, guys, trophy trucks. Like, wait, what happened now? if you've seen the trailer, that really was my demeanor of why am I here? What happened? Did I get kidnapped?
We anyway, leave our seats.
So there's that. But Chris is one of the instructors there. Hi, man, how are you? So he has actually since sold his Mini Cooper. Actually, did he keep it? Maybe he kept it. But he has a Lotus Elise now, which he's wanted forever,
yes,
which is cool.
He's got the Elise, yes.
Congrats on that. I hope your air conditioner works because it's Vegas. But his mom is not there. His mom is in Syracuse, New York. Her name is Tammy, and she is looking for a new SUV, and she's battling with up to 120 inches of snow a year.
Yeah, no kidding. She's wanting something new, and she's thinking about trading her Jeep, and as we all do, we get these letters from the dealership saying, hey, you want to trade in your whatever it is? We're looking for used cars. Yours is perfect. We'd love you to come down, and you know, we'll make you a deal on something new. But
sure, you will.
We want you to buy a new car.
Well, yeah, it is code exactly for that, yes, for sure. It's lightly veiled code,
I've always wondered, if I do that, am I obligated to you guys? Do I have to buy a new car from you, or can I just turn it in, get the money, and run, and go get something I really want?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, so she has a farm with animals. She hauls hay on occasion, but for the farm, they've got a Silverado they use.
Yeah.
She's got a Jeep. Okay, she currently drives a Jeep Cherokee. She hauls 50-pound bags of animal feed, and she's got 4 grandkids, so she's got to haul their stuff, too.
Their animal feed as well.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Really, you know, feed and the animals, all of the above.
It's a big bag of grandkid chow.
Grandkid
chow. That's what it's called.
It's awesome, yeah.
You buy them at Costco.
It's kid kibble. Yeah, it's awesome.
Grandkid chow.
There you go.
Grandkid chow.
Frightening.
Now, made with real ingredients. All right, so she's trading in the Jeep, and she's not upside down. She only owes $5,000, and the good trade-in amount here is about $9,000 or $10,000.
Great,
it's got awesome. 90,000 miles, and she's willing to spend up to $32,000 because she wants to keep the monthly payment as low as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
The biggest thing about her Jeep, and the reason she's trading it in, is because of the 9-speed transmission.
Yeah,
jerky, clunky. She
not
hates
a fan of that 9-speed. Actually, neither are we.
We're
not big fans of that 9-speed. I have to admit, yeah.
Yeah, so she doesn't like the interior, doesn't like the seats, and she lives outside of the city and travels about 25 minutes into work, so it's about a 40-mile round trip. And again, because of the mileage she's putting on, leasing is not an option for her, so she needs to buy it. It's got to have the new stuff, the amenities, Bluetooth, music she likes. She wants to be able to play music from her phone.
Yep.
And she's a country girl, so she wants four-wheel drive, and Chris says she doesn't understand all-wheel drive.
Doesn't understand all-wheel drive. I really like that sentence.
Four-wheel drive, not all-wheel drive. What? Four-wheel drive. Come on. You get out and you lock your hubs. That's what you do.
Isn't that what happens? Yeah.
Four-wheel drive. Yeah. I can't steer, but...
That's funny.
Anyway, so she's kind of turning up her nose at other American cars besides Jeeps. Doesn't like her son's Chevy Traverse. She'd like to stick to Jeep, Nissan, Toyota, maybe Honda, but she is open to suggestions.
Okay, good.
Something with low maintenance costs, and she doesn't need a whole bunch of stuff on it, just the basics.
Yeah, yeah.
Bluetooth, music, good gas mileage, something rugged. She's needing something rugged because of the grandkid chow bags.
Yeah.
And potentially a third row. So she's been mulling that idea recently.
Kind of goes either way on the third row.
Not a selling point yet.
Yeah. Could go either way on the third row. I also think it's interesting here, a couple of things that I picked out of this. She doesn't like, hi, Mom, by the way, you don't like your son's Chevy Traverse.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really an off-roader of any kind.
This all-wheel drive discussion now, shall we?
I don't think you should judge the entire Chevy lineup based on that, including the fact that you have a Silverado for the farm, and that apparently is fine.
Yes,
nobody's
but the Silverado is not the Traverse.
It isn't.
They are in the next county over.
I know, and so I'm going to jump off right there and just say, have you driven the Chevy Tahoe? Get a used Tahoe. I have other things on the list, but I just wanted to follow that rabbit trail real quick.
Okay.
Drive the Chevy Tahoe. Full four-wheel drive running gear. Now, typically the difference is all-wheel drive, typically, I'm going to massively oversimplify this, is running all the time and is most of the time pushing power around. A lot of, like that Traverse is a front-wheel drive platform that has about 10% of the power running to the rear, and it can move as much as 90% to the rear, which means it doesn't really. It just runs like a front-wheel drive. So there's that.
Wants to lock her hubs.
Four-wheel drive running gear is you have that low-end gearbox, and you are essentially a rear-wheel drive car until you tell it otherwise.
Yep.
There are gray areas of cars that are very firmly in the gray area here, but that's kind of the simple version. So your Silverado, I'm sure, is a four-wheel drive. The Tahoe is as well. so you can get body on frame. Mm-hmm. It's the things that work for you on the Silverado, but you are in a bigger, good SUV. Now, the gas mileage isn't great, but you said you'd rather have the usability and a good place to be with a good transmission than really stress about the gas mileage. So I go, I understand that you've tried to take every other American automaker off the table, but we're really close to Tahoe because of the Silverado.
Yeah.
Huh.
I would also say that that particular Jeep Cherokee she's got is probably all-wheel drive and not four-wheel drive.
I agree.
I think
it's in that gray area world for sure. Yeah.
But ultimately, it's going to get you down through the snow. It's going to get you out of the bog and through the woods and over the river, and it's going to get you there.
To her house, grandmother's house.
Pretty much. To haul the bags of grandkid chow.
Yeah, we're going to keep beating on that one. That's great.
Funny. It's a big ad. It's funny. Come on. All right, so I actually went to Toyota because of a car that you and I drove just recently for Fast Blast. It is not out yet, but I came away pretty darn surprised.
Okay.
And it is the brand new 2019 Toyota RAV4.
It's on my list as well.
The premium or the adventure trim levels. Mm-hmm. Premium starts at 29, adventure starts at 33, so it is right in the sweet spot. And Tammy, if you are counting on just monthly payment, I'll bet you they can do something for you. If you're not counting total price, you're saying 32 to give us a monthly
range.
A range, a tally, but I'm thinking right in there. And we had the fully loaded hybrid version.
It was everything, including
hybrid.
Don't really
need to spend that much money.
It was great on gas.
That one was great on gas. Of course, it's a lot more money now. Yeah, that could be a consideration. So it was the hybrid.
But also the other good thing about
the
hybrid.
What about
the RAV4? It's on my list. The other thing that's interesting about the hybrid in this scenario, Tammy, is that that's a little four-cylinder. That's not that powerful.
True.
But in hybrid form, you're never going to feel that. Because
it was the Monroney on the one
it
we
has
had.
It was over
like
40.
40.
It was
44, over 40. Right? Yeah.
But it was the press car special, which means I can check that box too. That's really how the press cars happen. Yeah. So
there's software that automatically checks the boxes when you order the car.
I actually think all of the people that create the press fleets have just got a special box they check. It's like press car, and then it just comes. How expensive can we make it?
I think it was the Elon Musk button on the Tesla site. It's just make it fully loaded. That's the one I want. That's who started it.
All the goodies.
Elon's fault.
Anyway, so this RAV4 had everything. But the interesting thing about the hybrid system in that car is, yes, the gas mileage was killer, but it had the benefit of torque really low that four-cylinder probably wouldn't have otherwise.
True.
Which I think makes it a little more versatile. They've taken the RAV4, which traditionally was not rugged, and they've given it a look that, honestly, I think looks quite a bit like a Jeep product.
That's what drew me to it. It's like 2.5 scoops of rugged. They sprinkle it on.
Not 3 full scoops. We didn't go crazy. But it is far more
that's
rugged.
That's your Tahoe right there.
It's far more rugged than the RAV4 prior.
Yeah.
And I think it's Toyota reliability. You get that hybrid gas mileage. I think it's a real contender. I'm glad you brought it up because I had it on my list too.
Honestly, that is my contender. I went round and round because, Tammy, you have a plethora of SUVs and CUVs on the market.
Yes.
A load. You've already got the Silverado, so you've already got kind of the truck thing for farm use. So what about something that is the balance between bombing around on the farm, hauling the chow, taking the grandkids, and getting good gas mileage, and it's rugged enough that I feel like it'll tie into your Jeep sensibilities. Mm-hmm. That's my headspace. And it surprised me. A RAV4 now... rugged? What?
Well, and it's a direct competitor to that Cherokee in their lineup.
Yeah.
And so it's the same similar size.
Size has grown.
I think it's compelling.
It's no longer cutesy. It's real. And I came away pretty impressed by it.
So,
of course, we had the loaded version, but I think the premium of the Venture are the trim levels to go look at. Where are you guys?
I actually chased the three-row idea here.
Good.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
I did come up with one five-seater, and that was the Mazda CX-5. You can get practically new ones for under 32.
Yep.
Several of them.
It's true.
They're all over the place. And we drove that against the Jeep Cherokee actually in our last season or one of our most recent seasons.
Season 3, yeah.
With
it
and the Subaru Crosstrek. And we loved the CX-5.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's one of the
traditional all-wheel drive system. But I honestly think, Tammy, in all of your usage, it wouldn't matter. I really don't think so. I don't know that your situation requires full four-wheel drive running gear. The CX-5 does not have that, but it's great to be in every other situation. Love that. Keep going.
Yeah. So my next option was the three-row version of that, the CX-9. I actually found 2019s CX-9s for 33, 34. So a little bit outside the budget, but not really pushing that hard on it.
Chance knows how to do this podcast. Find the budget and go just above.
And
telling you.
Mileage varies with those, but the one I like best, I actually found a couple Kia Tellurides.
Whoa.
All-wheel drive Tellurides for $32,000.
Whoa.
Clean titles.
That's a find.
And
you're kidding me.
They're rugged, three rows, done.
That's a find. That's a genuine find. Well done. Well done on that.
This one, the one I'm looking at, I've got one in Louisville. It's 32.6 with 1,600 miles on it. And then there's another one in Chicago. It's 33.5 with 6,000 miles on it.
Now, not the top trim levels, but that's not what she's looking for anyway. No. So who cares? Yes.
Telluride S and a, what was the other one? Telluride LX.
Huh. That's
wow.
So, well done on that. That's quite a find. Bravo on that. Really good.
Stingers and Tellurides have come down.
Yeah.
Telling you that's the sweet spot.
Well, I have a couple of bits of drive homework for you, Tammy. It's going to depend, honestly, on how much do you want to go do drive homework. I hope that Chris encourages you to go do drive homework because I think you should drive around a few things. I think everything that's been mentioned so far, I honestly wonder if your car is in that group. But I'm going to throw a couple of wild cards in here. You brought up the 4Runner. Nothing wrong with the 4Runner. But at that size, we've actually gotten bigger than your current Cherokee. At 4Runner size, I think things like the Tahoe become competitive. And then I also think you should go drive the Ford Explorer. We're in this world.
Okay.
If you're driving the 4Runner, if you're thinking about that, drive the Tahoe, drive the Ford Explorer, because I think you need to understand what these are like. They don't have the terrible 9 speeds you have right now, so I think there may be something there that surprises you. Kind of, if you can, and we try to do this in general, but if you can't, forget what the badge is. Just go drive them and see how they are in comparison. And then I have to say it, because their budget allows it, you could look at used Porsche Cayennes.
Wow.
They have really good, serious four-wheel drive running gear.
They do. They do.
And they're a very nice place to be. Look at a base one or an S. Don't go nuts. Look at a base one or an S. I think you'd be very happy with the base Cayenne. That's what we have. It runs. We've got 120,000 miles on ours. In fact, I need to do another update.
Yeah.
It just runs.
I'm trying to think. What is the earliest year that you can get for 32? 32,000.
You mean the most recent one?
So going back to the, 2010, 2011, 2012,
you're
did you
probably
get into the prior generation?
You're going to be into probably for that, it's going to be 2013, 2014, which is the middle of the second gen.
That's not a bad place to be, actually.
It's a great place to be, yeah.
Huh. Tammy, you have options. Chris, thank you for writing. I love that you're writing on her behalf. And thank you again for your help at Speed Vegas. So that is episode 3 coming out. And we were shepherded and given a lot of access
to
the entire track.
Really cool,
thanks to those guys. If you're ever in Las Vegas, go see Chris, because if you mention Everyday Driver, he'll take care of you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You'll end up talking. Look, you think you'll talk to cars to whoever your instructor there is anyway. You tell Chris you actually follow Everyday Driver and you might not get out of the building. And I mean that in a great way. There's going to be a lot of car talk.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. We've got to jump to questions. And there were a couple here. In honor of Independence Day in the U.S., there's a couple of questions. First from Kelvin T. asking, what is the most patriotic car in the world?
Most patriotic car. And he said no Corvettes.
And then there's another question from Ryan Wilson asking, most American car or truck to celebrate Independence Day? Ford Raptor? What do we think?
There's a third one that's popped up since we started recording, too. Okay. And that was, what is the most patriotic car that isn't actually American?
I think I have an answer to the first, to Kelvin's, and who wrote this third question?
I forgot. I just saw it a little bit ago.
So I think I have an answer, and
great.
You know, you said most patriotic car in the world. I'm taking you back to Yugoslavia, to Yugos.
Oh, my gosh.
They named their car after the country.
Okay. All
imagine the car named America. I drive in America.
Well, you know, you see those.
I drive a Germany. You do. I have a Japan.
There's that second-gen Corvette in American original, and its actual license plate is America.
Yeah, exactly.
And it gets the license plate itself gets a little cameo burnout moment in the film if you haven't seen it. It always makes me laugh.
Have you seen the neighbors? They got a new Greenland.
America.
Greenland is awesome. It's a great off-roader.
The air conditioning is really cool.
It's amazing. So I'm telling you. A car named after a country. Now, of course, the country doesn't exist anymore. It has been chopped up into six republics.
Neither does the car company.
But I'm just saying, if you want a car That's pretty patriotic. All right. And now all six Republics were part of the supplier chain to build that car. Wow. It's an interesting story, and I love that, you know, everybody seemed to pitch in. However, the cars were not that great, and they were not loved, especially in America. They were just not loved, but they sold actually quite a few. And in Serbia, they're still quite popular, and it's kind of a badge of honor to work on it yourself. So just saying, Yugos. It doesn't mean it's good. It just means the most patriotic.
Is it in the U.S., is it the 60s Lincoln Continental suicide door car? Is that just America on wheels right there?
That could be.
Works for parades, works for non-parades.
Well, so, I was saying the C2 Corvette convertible.
Yes, but that's one of them. One of them did say no Corvettes. Because
one of them said no Corvettes. Yeah. But then the other thought I had was the Mustang, the old Mustang.
Yeah,
That just says America to everywhere in the world.
Sure. I like that. I mean, we could parse it up and say, well, does that mean it generates the most economic growth or employs the most people?
Or come on.
It's been built in the U.S. the longest. Or
you're being surprisingly serious about this question.
I don't know.
Also, Jeep Wrangler's on that list.
Yeah.
You drop a Wrangler anywhere in the globe and that says
Wrangler.
America.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking Wrangler.
Yeah.
Any brand of pickup truck.
To some degree. Mm-hmm. To some degree. Toyota's known for their pickup trucks, too.
Well, now, yeah.
But I mean, you know, all of Africa is Toyota pickup trucks, I think.
Teslas are uniquely American.
This is true.
Yeah.
Just saying.
In their own ways. Yes, you're right. Interesting. Okay.
Our own special ways.
Yes.
All right. Well, excellent questions. What other questions you guys find on here?
There are so many good ones, as always. Tips about doing, we actually covered this earlier a little bit. Ian on Facebook, tips on doing a long road trip over 2,000 miles in a pretty hardcore sports car. I don't know how hardcore you're talking, but as the guy that did 800 miles when I bought my Lotus, I'll speak to this a little bit. I really hope your air conditioner works. Otherwise, you're just going to have times when it really just sucks, or air conditioning and heating for that regard. So I hope that works. But I would say, depending on how hardcore it is, I recommend to you earplugs.
Mm-hmm.
Or headphones that also like Jaybird ones and other ones that I actually have some Jaybirds, so I think about it, that actually block out sound but fit in your ear, so they work as kind of combination ear plugs and also give you sound of your music. So I think that's really helpful, because that just after time, that just wears on you. It can give you a headache.
Yep.
It can hurt. So if your car is loud enough and you're going to be doing sustained freeway blasts, get some earplugs or some headphone earplugs. I think that will really help you. Also, look at your route.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every chance you get to do two things. One, you don't have to be a hero. If you're getting tired, if it's too much, if you're sweaty, you're dying, you don't like it, just get off the road. Have a meal, have a snack, get out of the car for a bit. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing, no reason to have to be a hero. Also, look at your route and figure out, oh, wait, I can go off and do a squiggle here. I mean, that honestly maintained my sanity on the Lotus Drive. I knew I had to get through Vegas because it was just boiling. But then as soon as I got to southern Utah, I took a couple little offshoots that took extra time. But I was like, this is why I bought this car.
Yeah.
That's the other reason to do it.
I'd also add seat cushions. Something
yeah,
for
possibly,
depending
yeah.
on how hard your seats are. Like I drove my BRZ when I had it from here, from Salt Lake down to Tucson and back, and that was just miserable.
Hmm.
It was a miserable experience. But on the drive back home, I actually put a pillow underneath me and I sat really tall. But
I wish you would have.
But it helped
huh.
be a little more comfortable. It wasn't comfortable, but it did help.
I see it. Hey, you know, James May did it forever ago when he had a racing Vantage on one of their long road trips. They bought him a pillow at a gas station. He's
yeah.
like, oh.
Nice. All right, Chance, what other questions you find on here?
Becca Walker actually asked the question, are there options for something similar to a BRZ in handling and affordability, but with a quieter interior? And someone else said, answered her with a 987 Cayman, but she said she didn't like that idea because it had less cargo space, which I looked it up, and that's actually the exact opposite. The 987 Cayman has twice the cargo space as the BRZ.
Score!
Twice.
Score!
But is that counting seat down?
I'm not 100% sure on that.
It can't be.
Oh, man.
It can't
if it
be.
Doesn't count seat down, it might
Because the minute you drop the seat, I mean, I'm sorry, but there's no way I'm getting skis in a Cayman, and I put my skis
you can
and
actually.
All that kind of stuff inside?
Uh-huh. Depending on how long, maybe not your size skis.
Yeah, I put a lot of stuff in the back of that FRS, but anyway.
But trust me, I was looking at that when I looked at Cayman's.
Okay, keep going.
But the 996 has less cargo space than a Cayman with the seats down.
Yeah, interesting.
So
okay.
So I don't know. That's just something else to think about.
Question from Linus Yates on here, who says, you suddenly find yourself poor, you need transportation. under $2,500, what do you buy? And then there was a comment from Michael Newsom who said, I just want to hear Paul admit that he'd probably have to buy a Corolla at that budget. No. Negative, Ghost Rider. Absolutely not. I'm going with a Honda CRX.
Okay.
From the early 90s. Right. Yeah, under $2,500. I'm finding cars with over 300,000 miles on them.
Wow.
They just ran. So if I had $2,500, I would chase a CRX. Small, fuel efficient. Mm. They run forever. And we're done.
I was expecting like a 924 or 914.
Well, those are awesome. They just
to stay in Porsche land. That's funny. I like it.
Tufts of upholstery, and this doesn't work.
I think I would chase that cheap Miata. I think I would.
Would you?
Yeah, I think I'd chase the cheese meat. The problem is, it'd be an NA or NB, which means I really wouldn't fit. So rainy days are going to be hard. Yeah.
Just sew an extra bubble, like a like a cloth gurney bubble over the top of your head.
Cloth gurney bubble. Yes, that's perfect.
That's what. That's all you need. I should start a line of convertible tops for tall people. The upholstered gurney bubble. I'm telling you,
the Paul toupee.
No, car toupee? No. Chance is not invited back.
Off the deep end.
That's the end of that.
Off the deep end.
We have. Let's see. Z the person on Instagram says, "I keep hearing about how the ZF 8-speed is the best auto in the world." I actually agree with that. That's on lots of product. Why do I then hear qualifiers and caveats whenever FCA's cars have the ZF transmission? I'm not sure what you're referring to there.
I haven't seen it. We love it on the Quadrifoglio, the Alfa.
Yeah, it's fantastic on the Quadrifoglio. It's actually pretty good on the big like Charger, for example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the it's in the Jeep.
Your old Jeep.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the Jeep that I don't miss.
Well, there is that. That's for other reasons. That ZF transmission, that 8-speed, is in lots and lots of cars. We've listed a bunch that are just FCA, but I mean, come on, BMW and Audi and tons of people have that ZF 8-speed.
Jaguar.
I do think it's the best one. In fact, that's the one in the Supra.
Yeah.
Think about the range we've already talked about.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Think about the range of cars we've talked about already that have got that transmission. Here's the difference, though. Every auto manufacturer seems to have slightly different computer tuning on how does it respond to you. And then it's connected in various cases to different pieces in the interior, be they the gear shift, be they the paddles, that vary wildly in talking to that gearbox. So as a result, you can have different experiences. They're all, for an automatic, pretty great, but then they have a range from great to, I can't believe this is an automatic, depending upon the car you're in and the programming that it has.
Sure. What do you got over there?
Nick Dorn 2.0 asked what the automotive equivalent to buying a house with a pool is. And I have an answer. I think a car with a sunroof, glass roof, or a convertible top.
Okay.
All right. Not bad. Not bad.
And here I was going to say Range Rover.
But you can get the panoramic roof on that and you solve the problem.
Yeah, you can get the soft top on those.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like a McMansion with a pool. It's perfect.
Hey, it's the automotive equivalent. All right. Barbara Peterson is asking, is the ability to park correctly being lost? I think that ship has sailed around the world a few times, actually.
Yes, sad,
we
sad,
see
but
it
true, yeah.
on every Instagram posting, like, how come this guy can't park very well? And then the two Jeeps that have been mudding in wherever come and squeeze right next to the Civic that parked, you know, an inch too far to the right. We've all seen these videos.
Yeah, we have.
Honestly, well, you're seeing the proliferation of tech into, let me help you do this. The car needs to help you do blank skill that you should know how to back the Bayliner down the boat ramp and tie a knot drive a manual transmission. You just need these life skills, including how to park in the lines and then imagine your world in 3D around you. Imagine your car in space. But now we have 10 zillion cameras around the car and you can switch views to help you park. We've got satellite view. We've got all that stuff.
In a weird way, I have to think that actually can only help. But I think the problem I think the problem is right down to the fact that all of us listening and all of us on the podcast right now, have you ever gotten out of your car and gone, oh, I did not park well?
I've done that too many times.
And then you fix it, right?
Well, yeah,
This is the key thing. I think there a lot of the people that park badly get out of the car and don't notice and walk away.
So they all need a car that they like so much they look back at and then they realize they parked incorrectly?
Maybe, or they care that's enough that when they open the door and put their foot out, they go, why is the yellow line way over there and crooked? That's not right. I did that wrong.
Or if you're slithering out of your car trying to get out, or you have to pop the hatch to crawl through the car to get out because you parked so badly.
But that's the thing. It takes that extra step of just caring enough to be like, wait, I didn't do that well. And that's the skill we've lost. We've lost the skill to care about the fact that anybody but me exists. That's the problem.
I love it. I love it. Okay, moving on.
Track Daily Crush. You see this? Caution Yellow Jeep. Track
yeah,
Daily
I
Crush.
Did. I have that one.
The right. Bad Styling Edition. Track Daily Crush.
Oh, no.
Plymouth Prowler.
Oh, no.
Chevy SSR. Ford Thunderbird.
Gack.
Track Daily Crush.
I'm guessing he's meaning the retro Thunderbird. The redone one.
The redo that was that thing.
I'm crushing that.
I can't handle it. I got to crush it. I think the Chevy SSR would be very funny on track.
It'd be funny. Yeah.
And it's funny
and
everywhere.
I would daily the Plymouth Prowler.
See, I think
because
I think
the Prowler's only purpose is to be looked at. I think it's its only purpose. So you got to daily that thing so people can see it.
Yeah. Although I'd take the bumperettes off and I'd track it.
That's what I would do.
Okay. All right.
Would you?
Track it. Put a Hellcat motor in it,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, actually fit it with,
well, okay, there you go.
With an engine that has more than
we're
six cylinders.
We're breaking the rules now, but yeah.
Hey, if we're going to do this, and then we get to add modifiers.
I would daily the T-Bird because I think that would be the most comfortable, lush thing to just
bum around. I clearly don't pick my dailies that way. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Of those three, that would be the one.
I see it, for sure.
I'd crush the Thunderbird, too. That was just an ill-conceived, poorly done, poorly wrought, horribly done. Other than that, I like it just fine.
You're a huge fan otherwise. Yeah.
I seem to see those in bursts, too. You don't see them for a while, and then all of a sudden you see five of them on the same day.
They got let out of the wild. Like, we're free!
Yeah, that's funny.
Sweet!
Run away! Damio is asking, is Mazda Speed officially dead? They've had some fantastic products from the Protégé, 3, 6, Miata even. Has Mazda totally axed their performance arm? I'm going to say no, because the Miata still exists. And they also have an IMSA race team that actually just got their first race win at the Saarland 6-Hour this past weekend at Watkins Glen.
Nice. Nice. I'm trying to parse this question from Beaver Nuts over here. He's asking, American muscle, German engineering, Japanese reliability, if we were to rebrand a country's automotive tagline reputation, what would you focus on? It's got to be something around, you know, how Ford and GM are kind of getting away from cars and they're just building SUVs. So it's like American hugeness or just American gigantic huge something. American enormity, German tech and Japanese speed, somewhere in there. That's where I'm at right now.
How about Italian reliability? Italians, ooh, that's we
good.
Work now.
Need to write that down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just,
Wow.
Not the people, the cars. Come on.
Hard work never killed you. All right. What else? What other questions you guys got?
Well, there are a ton as always, but I have one here that I'm still kind of working on. But Adrock Fox on Instagram said that I mentioned recently that the S2000 is in kind of the same spectrum. I have the Spectrum of Sacrifice video coming out, I swear. It will make more sense then. It's in the same spectrum as the Lotus Elise. It's like a similar driver likes the S2000 as the Elise. He's a BRZ owner, and he test drove an Elise and just went, I can't go this far. I can't go this nuts. So he's asking, what other car is there between his BRZ and the Lotus? It's like headed down that same road but doesn't get quite as hardcore as the Elise. You don't mention budget. I think it's the Alpha 4C.
Ooh.
Yeah, budget's not a problem. Ooh. Yeah,
and those are 45 to 50, so maybe we don't. I mean, the S2000 is in that same range. Obviously, it's a lot cheaper, but I think the 4C is in that range. I actually
wonder, I think
the Toyota MR2 is on that spectrum as well. It depends on how you fit, and it depends on how old you want to go. But I think that's another candidate as well.
Good. I'd say a Boxster is a good middle ground, too. It's not
quite
as hardcore, but it's still convertible and fun, good chassis, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it feels like more of a just-for-fun car. Yeah, I see that. I can see that.
Hmm. All right.
Christopher L. said, let's say you all lost your cars for some reason in an accident, Viking burial, whatever.
Accidental Viking bear. Oops.
What would you buy right now with the insurance money? And for fun's sake, let's say you can't replace it with the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
I went looking today after our conversation at Eaglewood Golf Course, and we saw a Mercedes AMG GTS.
They're so awesome.
Yep. They're $89,000. I found one with 5,000 miles for under $90,000.
With 5,000 miles on it?
AMG.
We should almost pool our resources and get to that. Not that we have still that amount of money, but still.
I mean, by the way, I was watching Barrett Jackson's auction the other day, and a 95 Corvette ZR1 auctioned off hammer price for $17,900. Now,
whoa,
it had higher mileage and it had some engine work done and partial rebuild or just some stuff done to it. But still, it was a rare color. It was the magenta wine color with a tan interior.
Yeah, it was
I think
like one of 25 or something like
that. It wasn't even 20 grand with fees for a ZR1, a 95.
If you've
ZR1.
Seen our American original film, that is almost the surprise car of the film. So I think that's I mentioned this to you actually. That car or a used FRS.
That car all day long. I don't care how rallying creaky
isn't that interesting? That ZR1 it actually was special from that generation for sure. Man. That's a lot of car for the money.
But yeah, GTSs are under 90, everyone. We can all have one now. Just saying.
I guess that is somewhat close to the spitting distance of the worth of your car, so I'll give you that.
All right. Well, it is sort of like Mercedes does a 928 GT car.
Yeah, hey. I'm a big fan of that car. Oh, I'm a big fan of that car. It's very cool. Yeah. What about you, Chance?
I would probably either do something like a Cayman or a Boss 302 Mustang.
Okay, although you have a Mustang, so it doesn't really count.
Okay, fine.
Whoa, so, you're really putting the screws to him over there. Well done.
Seriously. Putting the screws, man.
All right.
Yeah, probably a Cayman. I don't know.
So we're all just swapping cars. I'll drive a Lotus. You have my Cayman. By the way, welcome to 911.
There we go. All right, I guess I'm driving a 911. I guess that's where that goes. That Z4 coupe we drove.
Oh, yeah.
Intriguing. I could get a nice one of those for the money that a Lotus is worth.
Sure.
And it's got some similarities. I don't like it as much as the Lotus, but that's an interesting one. The problem is that everything that I would want to replace the Lotus is more expensive than the Lotus.
That's my problem too.
Yeah. So
my 996 isn't worth that much.
So there's that. So I thought the Z4 is actually in the proper price point. I would almost get an 86 chassis again, but I don't know if I'm breaking the rules.
Would you?
Yeah. If
save the rest of the money because.
Because I like
one
that
for half of the Lotus.
I like
no,
that
just
lightweight
put a supercharger
thing so much.
On it
and just throw the rest of the money in parts.
I like that lightweight thing so much. And then if I could get a convincing, and it may be honestly that the change might be Lotus Elise seats. If I could get a convincing tall man mod and find a used Miata RF, I'd do that.
Ooh. I'm telling you, cloth gurney bubble. Just saw a hole.
Exactly.
Stitch the new little bubble on.
Clearly,
and you're good.
Car toupees, it's going to be a thing.
I don't see a problem. Guys, thank you so much for all your questions. We really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy. And really, thank you for making it what it is.
Yes. Joining us all of this madness and all right. being a part of the madness, rating and reviewing. And remember, I'm saying it again, tomorrow is season 5. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Here we go. Guys, thanks again. Cheers, everyone.